In the name of the risen Lord. Please be seated. Our country and much of the world is presently facing many challenges, caused both by nature that's all around us and in our country by the peculiar nature of our federal government. Snowstorms, hurricanes, fires, and floods all seem to be worse than previous ones. And politically, immigration continues to be a challenge for us, with the government's recent border actions challenging the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. And now the Affordable Care Act is once again under siege. When we are threatened with so much uncertainty and destruction of lives and property, we often hear stories of people's generosity and goodwill. We only have to remember back to Superstorm Sandy and the aid effort organised by mostly young people that took place from this very building. Challenging times tend to bring out the best in most people. Our individualistic tendencies give way to communitarianism and the belief that we are all in this together. The development of Western liberal democracies was heavily influenced by the period known as the Enlightenment, which occurred in the 18th century, often referred to as the century of philosophy. John Locke was an English philosopher, and he was a key player because he wrote a book called Civil Government, and it shaped the thinking of many in the world, and especially the founders of this country. He advocated for the separation of church and state, and he emphasised the individual rights to be life, liberty, health and property. He specifically excluded religious concerns. The culture that we experience today has been shaped by Locke's philosophical understandings, which means a culture centred on individual rights with an emphasis on independence, self-reliance and individual authority. And the church is not immune from this cultural effect. The church is a gathering place of people who worship the living God, is generally a place where people care for each other and share their experience of God's love for them. The church is the community of the new covenant with God, and as such looks to Jesus Christ for guidance on how we should relate as people in community. The Apostle Paul saw the church as a mutually dependent community, rather than a group of self-sufficient individuals. He saw it as a body of believers with Jesus as the head and as a place of mutual interdependence, each one of its members incomplete without the others, and where the suffering of one is the suffering of all. When we come into relationship with Jesus, we come to understand that Jesus calls us to a new life, a life that is not shaped by the culture of the world, but by the living God. And Jesus brought together the 12 apostles to be the first community of this new covenant. And the church, as the new body of Christ, continues this tradition today. As Christians, we bind ourselves to one another and to God in mutual recognition and support. We risk relationships with people outside of our own gender, nationality, language, ethnicity, or socioeconomic status. We seek as Christians to overcome difference, and it is this characteristic that differentiates Christians from the rest of the world, which organises around sameness. But overcoming differences is not always easy. We more easily form tribes and find safety and security in sameness. That's why I said we risk relationships with people outside of our own tribe. To risk a relationship with someone different from ourselves means that we see the other person as a neighbour, as a full creation of God in the same way that we are all creations of God. Jesus defines a neighbour as any human being with whom we interact. Our epistle and gospel readings this morning give us such an insight into the lives of two pillars of the church, the apostle Simon Peter and the self-proclaimed least of the apostles, Paul. The two were very different, and they saw the early days of the church from very different perspectives. But ultimately, through the grace of God, they came together to build the foundations of the church. Paul, by his own admission, set out in his letter to the Galatians, was a zealous man intent on ridding the religious community of the followers of the way. He had strength of character that stood apart from the other apostles. Little did Paul know that God had a plan for him that would harness his personal inner strength, redirecting it to proclaim to the world that God was love and that he was wrong to persecute those he did. Paul was humbled by his encounter with Jesus in the vision that he had on the road to Damascus. And this new aspect of his character, this humility, together with his inherent strength, lifted Paul up to be the great apostle we read about today. But Simon Peter was a little bit different. We have heard about him several times over the past few weeks. Peter was close to Jesus, and Jesus allowed him to climb the mountain and witness his transfiguration. As Peter's relationship with Jesus developed, he came to see Jesus as someone he needed to protect until he failed. When Jesus told him that he had to die in order to rise again, Peter chastised him, only for Jesus to rebuke him and to call him Satan. Then, as Peter declared that he would never abandon Jesus, he did just that, out of fear that he too might be arrested, convicted, and crucified. Despite these shortcomings, Jesus trusted Peter to be the rock upon which the community of the faithful would be built. He understood the transformation that Peter would go through after witnessing the empty tomb and encountering the risen Lord at this breakfast on the beach. Jesus fed Peter and then called him to feed others. Like Peter, we can only give what we have first received. Peter was somewhat impetuous, and Paul was definitely violent, but Jesus saw more in both of them. Each of their flawed characters was able to be disciplined by the grace of God. When each encountered the risen Jesus, their character was not completely changed. Rather, it was the beginning of their refinement through the Holy Spirit that would strengthen them for the work that they were being called to do. We've all been shaped by our inherent characteristics and our faith in Jesus. We have been refined as we are welcomed into the community of faith through our baptism. If we are open to God's work in us, we too will rise to be pillars of this community and shape the lives of those that come into our midst. Today is a great celebration because we welcome a new member of the Church of God. Through Jaden's baptism, he will become a part of this community of faith that strives to love God and love neighbour, to put aside difference and to become bound together in mutual interdependence. Jaden's parents, Ian and Stacey, and his godparents stand with him today and agree to raise him as a Christian, to teach him about Jesus and to teach him to love a neighbour. None of us know how Jaden's life will evolve, what God has in store for him, what challenges await him, what blessings he will receive, or who he will become. We all have hope for him that he will grow to live a full and blessed life and share those blessings with his family and the community. As his parents, godparents, and all of us as the body of Christ, we agree to help him become his truest self, the person God created him to be. If Jaden is accepted, loved, raised in the knowledge of Jesus and the faith, then he will have the best chance to fully embrace his life. If he's denied love, rejected or shamed for who he is, or silenced by opposing voices, then he could feel far from the love of God, empty and isolated, and we would all have failed him. If we all are to honour Jaden's full personhood, we will need to connect with his spirit and the inner person that he is. And we do this by listening to him when he is old enough, listening to his sacred stories and experiences, and guiding him when he needs support and encouragement. We will love him for who he is, a creation of God, and welcome him always into the faith community. Jesus stands at the center of our faith, continually calling us toward a deeper relationship with him, and a deeper relationship with each other and our neighbours. Jesus yearns to have us close, to be welcomed, to be seen, and to be understood. And Jesus calls us to be healed and to be open to see and to hear and to speak that love that Jesus models for us when he welcomes each one of us as his neighbour. Jesus calls us to welcome Jaden always. And Jaden, we pray for you and ask God to be gracious to you, to open your eyes so that you may see Jesus in all people in the world. Open your ears that you may hear Jesus' voice. And open your heart and your mouth so that you may speak of your experiences of Jesus working in your life and in the life of those around you. We should continue to pray for each other and this community of faith, that we may continue to welcome each other and those that come into our midst, either here at the Church of St. Luke and St. Matthew or at home in our own communities. We should continue to pray that we would not be afraid to get to know them and to see them for who they are inwardly and spiritually. Our world is full of rejected and isolated people, so we need to work together to help our neighbours to seek a relationship with God as an antidote to the worldly culture of individualism. Let us always stand willing to love others as God loves them, and allow the power of our love and welcome transform their lives. For this is how the Spirit of God works in the church and indeed in the world. Amen.